After the end of the war, did you think that the cinema should be used to help build the new communist society?
Yes. Indeed, I wanted to do it. And we thought we can do better. And the first film I made is my film on Academy. Film Academy in Prague, it was There Are Not Always Clouds. It was such a kind of new realist film, but our inspiration was more Zavattini, De Sica, and Rossellini, and old Soviet films like Mother by Pudovkin. He was my visiting professor, and Donskoy Earth, and so on.
What was it that made a film of that period a socialist realist film?
It was... We saw it later. I have to say I worked first some years in documentaries and I came later to features. And I refused to do features because it was easier for me to shoot direct life and not to lie so much. Because social realism is a beautiful word or two words, but at the end it was a lie. You had to lie and to show everything much more beautiful than it was. And then I came to Soviet Union in 1952, flying to China, People's China, to shoot documentaries there, and I saw this poverty. And I saw it's a big lie. We saw films, feature films about kolkhoz stories, kolkhoz farms, excuse me. And it was terrible what we saw, this poverty. And they showed at Potemkin villages. So I saw it a lie, so I couldn't lie more, so it was...
To what extent were you told as filmmakers the sort of subjects that you had to film and how you should film them by the party?
Till 50s, I believed that party is right. And then I saw party is not right. And most of party is not right. And who is killing people? Who is shooting people, sending them to prison? Friend of my father was sent to prison. It's the countryman, the head part, František. Frank is the part of it. So I asked why. And the same way I said Nazi system is impossible because they killed people in concentration camps. We knew it. And Germans knew it too. They are not unguilty in many ways. So after my father died in Auschwitz, I knew I can do nothing with the system, just fight against it. And then I saw this system. I thought it's okay. I read Marx and Engels. And they were very smart men, but idealist in many ways. So I saw it's totally different. And so,
but did the what I was trying to ask you did the party when you were a filmmaker making the approved film, did the party actually give you instructions, very detailed instructions about the sort of films you should make and how you should make?
All very, very big instructions, and we were suffering of it. So you tried to go away of it, and let it be, not to do it. So first. I was asked many times doing documentaries to go to shoot features, but I received screenplays. I said, I will come, I will see, I can do it. And then I am not ready. I have to work with actors and learn how to work with actors. But this refusal was more of this, because of this, that those screenplays were very stupid and propaganda scripts.
But were there rewards for filmmakers who did conform? What were the sort of rewards for the filmmakers who made the approval?
State prize, it was 20,000 of Czech crowns and the privilege to have better apartment than other people. They threw away somebody who was a big businessman from his apartment, or they divided the apartment. They gave you bigger part because you were prominent state of the state.
How did you change from being making films that were politically acceptable to making films that were critical inside the state system? How is that possible?
Yeah, that is a good question. First, it's in your roots and what you are taking with you. Then you try to help and you think this those ideas okay. Then I was in China. My boss was Chou Enlai. He was a very smart man, and I showed documentaries, and I didn't have problems with him. But I had problems with Soviet Union, because this was barrier time. It was very police state, and coming back, I couldn't do it more. So I started to think in other ways. But it was not the real reason. The real reason was that I lost my mother. The son of first wife was born dead, and my wife later died on cancer. And after those three dead people, I changed my mind. I became, started to study more religions and other things.
But then you still made the government, the party, the state still giving you money to make these new things.
And I had to now to be very smart, like in the Bible. To be nice as a dove, and also as a snake. So you have to do it. And from this time, I changed totally my opinion, and I started to do it practically. I said to myself, "You will not more do this. You will just do what you feel is right." So I started this development with September Nights, the critical comedy about the army, written by Pavel Kohout. And it was a critic prize in Prague and so on. And it was the time Khrushchev was on power, and he opened many doors. He was a good man at the end. In the end, he was a good man. So it helped us. He said, under Stalin were killed 20 million of people. I've got this small booklet in my library here in Russian language. It's written there now. Nobody's there. Gorbachev is saying that more, but Khrushchev said it. He told it, so it's good. And it helped us, and then I started more and more think what I should do. After September Nights, my producer, director of the film group, I worked for them in Prague. Everything was state film. Schmida was his name. He said me after September Nights, I can do a film, what I like. And now is the time to write my story.
So in a way, the party had deliberately loosened its grip. They were letting you make these critical films.
Look, there is a party and there is a boss. And this boss was human. And he was human, and he thought, now is the time, let Vojta do a film what he likes. So I wrote, he said, and you will write your story. So I sat down and wrote The Desire. It started with my memory of a little boy running after crows, believing that after three hills is the end of the world, and I will catch them there. So I started this story with that. It's a story of a little boy, then a love story, and farmer's story, and death of my mother. So, and with this desire, it was the basis for all my films I made later, like Cassandra Cat and All My Good Countrymen, this trilogy. And in between I shot other films, but all those films I can sign with my blood.
But some of the Oh My Good Countrymen is very critical, very obviously politically critical, but some of the films were made before that were seen by the Czech people as being very radical in a political way, or shaking up the system, though to us they look like rather simple social comedies. Why was that? Why was that they seen as being politically radicalizing these films?
Yeah, we couldn't say directly, so we used fairy tales and comedies and similar thing to talk in allegories. So all those films, the best we made, with Cassandra Cat inclusive, so all those films are saying it through fairy tale. And then came the time, I thought, now it's the time to write a film directly, and I made All My Good Countrymen. It was in 68, and then came Russians. They came this invasion, so.
What was the purpose of your film, All My Good Countrymen?
You know, after the purpose of all my good countrymen was first after 1945, I decided to collect materials and do a day great. Somebody's writing a big novel, so I will do a film. And later I was so ready, and I was made director in 1956. I wrote the first script of All My Good Countrymen after big success of September Nights, this comedy by Pavel Kohout, and it was a critic prize of the critic. So it opened the door, and I knew I can now prepare a trilogy. First was The Desire. I shot in 57, 58, then Cassandra Cat 63, and Countryman came till 68. So first script I wrote in 45. And censorship started to work. First, the censorship was the artistic committee, but it didn't come to artistic committee because it was too official, because there were writers, politicians, and so on. It didn't come there. It came directly from this film group to general director of cinema, from the general director of cinema to committee for cinema of the party, and they said to me, never, never. You cannot never do this film. And it was given also to the committee of inner ministry of inner affairs, so it was a Trinita.
What was it that they objected about? What made All My Good Countrymen so dangerous?
As it is doing now, because I was telling the truth, and there is a belief in God, and as you know, communist ideas are not connected with that, and I was saying real life, how it's, because you cannot write easy somewhere you don't know, but if you, it is your village, your neighborhood, and your neighbors, you do it. You know exactly every step of them. So I decided to tell total and directly the truth, to do it, to tell the plain truth, and I did. With retardation much later, but I did it in 68. So this difference is between all those quasi-social realist films, they are a lie. And they try to do everything beautiful, still more beautiful. And party is a saint. Party secretary is a saint man, and a nice man, and he's like a holy ghost, and everything is so, in this way. It's a big lie. You cannot do that.
What were you doing in the scene in the film where the newly elected party committee walks through the main street of the town? What were you trying to say?
You know, I like music and musicals. It was a joke. This scene, this party committee is walking through the village. I used a march, famous march, and we made it other way with my composer. And I let them go through the village, and we see they laugh at them. They don't like them. They know them very well, what people they are, and it is impossible to do it at the end.
What sort of people were you trying to suggest they were in that scene?
But they were three people. Organist, he was a nice man. He helped a lot Soviet army to succeed because he made for espionage. This guy was very, very, he believed in communist system. He was an organist, and in the war he played international. So we like to go to the church to hear international play Nazi, under Nazis. Just a joke. So we like to joke. We Czech people. So this organist was a nice man, but then he saw it's impossible to go ahead in his way. He stopped and he became only, he worked for nature things and reservations. So he left.
And the other characters, what were they?
They were poor, mediocre people. So system like communist system and fascist system. For example, Zavattini sentence was this conspiracy of mediocrity. Of mediocres. So they used a lot of mediocre people because they killed the best businessmen, the most talented farmers, the biggest farm, the greatest farmer mostly was the best farmer. It was not only he had it be, to do it well, he had to be very good. And they were put into prison and killed and so on.
In the other scene, the other very strong scene, is when the good farmer and the other farmers are being coerced by the local party to join the collective farm, which they're supposed to join voluntarily. Why did you make that scene particularly so strong, and what effect did it have on people?
There are, in the film are two kind of scenes, how they will bring farmers into the collective. First, it is violence, with violence, to send them to prison. And later, second time, it came later under President Novotny, it was a system to ask people to do it, and ask them again, and sign. They didn't kill them more, they didn't send them more to prison, just Frank, the head part. And other, they asked them to do it, but they refused and said, after František, we don't. But at the end, they did. But they left again. And it was necessary that Frank survived and he came back from prison and he became president of cooperative, that everybody was going to the cooperative. It's not bad idea, cooperative, but because this big agriculture you see in United States, in Canada, 2% of farmers are giving food for whole world, but...
What was wrong with the force?
It was the violence. Here is also some kind of violence. Big industry, agriculture industry. And you can read here stories, farmers, smaller farmers, they killed themselves. There are also problems, but not of this kind.
What happened when you took this film to the villages, when you showed these, all my good countrymen, in villages?
Yes, when we took all my good countrymen to small towns and villages, I have to say, originally I made this film for my farmers, firstly, because I wanted, they knew it, but to show them, this under this government was done a film, and this is a government of Prague Spring, we will change it, we won't kill more, we will do it this way, we say we did those errors, and we show it openly, and that they know it. That was, but it became success in whole world, and if they would have let it free, so countrymen were sold everywhere.
What was the general with the impact of all these Czech films that were made in the mid-60s on Czech society? What did they do to Czech society?
I think those films of 60s and after 60s, they made impact. We were first avant-garde, before literature. Literature came a little bit later. A little bit, but almost the same time. So we made influence on development of our society. But problem of Prague Spring was that our movement was more of intellectuals than of farmers and workers. They supported it, but it was problem of intelligentsia.
But did the cinema reach out beyond the intelligentsia?
Yes, we came to millions, and people till now they love it, and all my good countrymen secretly, you can have tapes in Czechoslovakia, you can see it, so people know it, also young people. It's like a legend.
And what was it doing to people psychologically when they saw this, when they went to the cinema and saw a film like that? What did they think?
The people, they see it now. So young people don't understand it really. They have to ask their parents and they have to explain to them. They like it like a movie because it's beautifully done, but they don't understand really.
But what do their parents who live
and
up here, what do
parents,
they think?
Parents, most of parents are crying after the till now, also people living in United States ask me to give them tape of it. They go to mountains with other friends, show this tape of all my good countrymen, and first they cry.
And why do they cry?
Because it was a great possibility. I tell you, this Prague Spring was a great possibility for Czechoslovakia to be more free, to work on the spoiled society, to do it better, to say we did murders, we will do better. And it was very free society. This, those some months of 68 was one of best parts of my life. But I knew it will stop. It will never continue.
How did you get Czech Rhapsody through censorship?
Czech Rhapsody is a very special thing. It was a film for Osaka exhibition. I was told I have to do a propaganda film for Czechoslovakia after Soviet invasion. So you have to do it. But I wrote a script and I said to me, first I will use mask because I knew Chinese and Japanese, they like it. And I wrote the script without one word, only music and sounds. But I gave it to Galuška, Miroslav Galuška, who was president of a Czech part of exhibition in Osaka. And over him was Minister Kauda. He read the script, written every shot. And he said to me, if you will shoot this way, minister will lose his job, I will lose my job, and you will go. I said, I know. He said, so you have to change it. And I smiled, I said, I will change it. You promise? Yes, I promise. So dove and snake. I was like a dove, but other way I had to be a snake. I lied because I knew I have to shoot it. I will change it and you will be happy. I will do a beautiful film and propaganda. So I shot some industry and those things. But at the end I made the same and much stronger because for the end there is going a brass music in the plain field, and there is only frost and ice, and there is no, everybody is in black and they are playing such a funeral march, but there is no coffin and everybody is looking, where is the coffin? I said, coffin is our country, because we are not more free. So I made many things this way. So I succeed to do it. And after this film was ready and was shown in Osaka, it was big success. It was, I think, nominated for documentary Oscar also. And in Osaka, the president, Japanese president, loved it very much. So after it was banned, he showed it again. He asked to show it. And I was asked to the committee of the party, and two ladies were there and other people, and they asked me, Comrade Jasny, what did you make with this film? What you wanted to say? And I smiled and said, my dear comrades, ladies, you see what I showed, and what I showed I wanted to say. So I smiled, but my knees were weak because I didn't know I will leave this room home to see my family. And they said, you wanted to show our country and Soviet invasion. And so they were smart. They knew exactly it was a story I said. But I wasn't imprisoned, so...
What did they say to you then?
They let me go home. And I left this ministry. I visited first the pub and took a cognac to do better my heart and weak knees. And then I left home and I wanted. And some days after that, I was called to general director of cinema. He was earlier my friend, Mr. Pursh, Dr. Pursh. And he said to me, Vojta, you made all my good countrymen. They are banned. Now, you made Czech Rhapsody. It's banned. And if you will do third film of this kind again, you will go to prison and me too. And they lost positions, the minister, and so, and you are now losing your two. And you have to, if you will save your life and everything, you have to do a film glorifying a secret policeman. And it's you, and you have to talk openly on the TV and say that you made a mistake with all my good countrymen and with Czech Rhapsody and everything, and now you know you made only mistakes and now you will do better. And so as good church made it, you know, Inquisition the same way, repeated here. So I said to me, first time, the possibility to leave this country, I will leave it. And I started to prepare a film, I smiled, but I left.
Thank
that
you.
Is the story.
That's very good. That would be very good.
Yeah.